This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com.
Good morning. We are broadcasting live from Rally House in Wrigleyville. Come out and join us. Say hello. Or whatever you want to say, before the Illinois and Northwestern game coming up at 11 o'clock across the street at Wrigley Field. That's where we are right now. You can enter to win a $25 gift card for Rally House. This is a must-stop shop location for all of your Illinois Northwestern gear before the game. And it is great to be here with my old friend, Gabe Ramirez, whom I feel like I haven't seen you in ever, but we are here, and what a spot this is, Gabe. It is grand here at Rally House.
It is absolutely beautiful. I mean, there's a lot of Cubs gear. A lot of Cubs gear growth.
Does that bother you, by the way? You bothered?
I wouldn't say bothered. I don't think I've ever been in a room with so much Cubs gear other than Wrigley Field. It's Wrigley Field and then Rally House. But it's beautiful. It's a spectacle in here. So if you're looking for some, you know, stocking stuffers, some Black Friday deals, I'm sure they'll take care of you here. And then we are giving away a $25 gift card, which is cool. Got the promo team here ready to roll, yeah. Taking care of you. How are you feeling? I haven't seen you in a while.
I know, man. It's been a long time. Yeah, let's meet. We've got Ray Diaz on site. The executive producer of the Bernstein and Harris show was good enough to come out here and join us. The reason we sound so good right now is because Rich Wyatt, our engineer, is here. We're all drinking coffee. We're all bundled up right now. It is cold in the Wrigleyville area, ladies and gentlemen. So if you are coming to the game and somehow, some way, you're not aware of how cold it is, it's cold. And I have been told, too, that they do have winter gear here. As a matter of fact, yeah. I was told that by Gabe Ramirez.
Yeah, because Grody sees me wearing my big-ass coat. I have a hat on. I'm warm. But look, Eric and Sergio, our promo team members that are out here helping us out as well, I mean, they're bundling up too, so everybody's taking care of it. But hey, you know what? We're about to heat things up, Grody, because you and I have yet to talk about this. You came on right. You were supposed to be on my show yesterday to talk some Bears football, and then, of course, all the audibles were happening in real time when the news that Coach Eberflus was being fired. So you and I haven't had a chance to talk.
We did talk yesterday, though, didn't we? We did talk on the radio. You and you don't remember. You were doing the armchair. You don't remember. Who's the old one here? Damn. Is it me or you? Things changed that much since last we worked? You and I were on the air together, and then I turned on the radio an hour later, and you were joined by David Hall.
Hall jumped in.
So remember? You and I talk. You don't remember.
I do. What's happened to us?
What's happened? Do we need to work some things out here?
Not enough lunch hangout sessions. That's what
yeah, I guess so. I guess so. I'm going to break some news to you later on. Personal news going to probably bother you, or maybe not. But yes, we do have to get to, as the big voice guy said, this massive mid-season firing, which has occurred, and a lot of Bears fans waking up today. Yes, it really happened. It actually happened. An unprecedented move in Chicago Bears history occurred yesterday on what essentially still feels like a mangled day, because it's the day after Thanksgiving and everybody is still trying to get their bearings, and a lot of people probably didn't watch the game that closely or didn't watch it at all and were just sort of kind of paying attention to what was going on. But it absolutely happened. Matt Eberflus has been fired. Thomas Brown is the interim head coach. We can get into some of the other potential candidates as the morning goes on, but there's just so much to talk about. I should also tell you guys that coming up, we will have guests. We will have Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune, and he also happens to be my podcast partner on the Take the North podcast. Dan from the Chicago Tribune will join us at 9 a.m. to talk about Bears. We'll see what he knows, if there's any more insight on what will happen in the next couple of days from Dan. Always love getting his opinions. And at 10 a.m., we will be joined by one of the Bears classics as far as offensive linemen go in Bears history, James Big Cat Williams. Will talk to us at 10 a.m. this morning. We may have some more surprises as well. My buddy Mark Carman might be in the area. I know he'll be in the area because he's a big Northwestern fan. He, of course, is part of the CHGO Bears show. So if he stops in, we will throw a mic in his face and get his opinions on the Bears as well. But yeah, Gabe, like you said, you and I have not had a chance to talk much about this.
On a personal level.
On a personal level.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Well, we can take the headphones off right now and talk.
No, this is intimate. This is more intimate. I'm looking at you, actually. we're looking at each other.
You know what I was thinking about today? Because there's just so much. You know, I was on the air all day yesterday, like at intermittent times. Yeah. You were on the air. I did television last night. I did Milwaukee radio. So I've gone through so much of what has happened already. What I found myself thinking about today, and when I went to bed last night, like after all of the chaos and the fluidity of it and just trying to keep up with everything that was going down, what I was thinking about was Ryan Poles and how he must just be dizzied by all of what has happened. Because at the beginning of the year, Gabe, you and I did many shows where we looked at this roster, and I'll just speak for myself. We looked at the roster going into the season and said, wow, Ryan Poles has put together a hell of a roster. This looks good. I think I said at one point in time that specifically the offense, I said this is the first time that I've seen an offense where I don't see a whole heck of a lot of weaknesses. I mean, I made the case, too, that there probably wasn't a whole lot of weaknesses on the defense either. It looked like a formidable team that was put together by Ryan Poles. He was definitely being praised. Everybody sort of, like, I think everybody was on board with all of that. And now, at 11 games into the season, Ryan Poles is put in a situation where he has to fire his head coach. I can't imagine that this was something that he anticipated having to do or wanted to do in any way, shape, or form. So I don't know if the word – I'm struggling with the word that I have for Ryan Poles. Like, I kind of have a little bit of sympathy for him because I was on board with what he did. But now you look back at potential mistakes that he made and say, all right, you did what you had to do.
I think, listen, when you're talking about Ryan Poles coming into a situation, being a GM for the first time, we've seen him kind of lean on guys that he trusts. Velus Jones Jr., obviously Coach Eberflus last year leading into this, which I heard a rumor that, you know, they weren't going to let him go no matter what last year because of the years remaining on his contract. They didn't want to pay him out for that long. But you do have some sort of sympathy because – you know, this is a guy that is trying to build out this roster, right, and make it better than it once was. And it's a difficult task because I think most people, listen, in life in general, Grody, people do not get things right all the time. And when you are a GM specifically of the Chicago Bears, you are tasked with getting it right all the time. Because if not, then people are going to check what it is that you're doing, as people have in looking at the resume of Ryan Poehl so far for the Bears. Now, he, and I think this is what you're alluding to, because we have had these conversations, Groats, he is a guy that has had a vision for this team. A vision for the Chicago Bears since the moment he stepped foot in here. Cleaning house, adding talent, and doing it over the course of some years. Not trying to be a flash in the pan guy and make everything right from the beginning. So, yes, it probably sucked for him to have to look Coach Eberflus in the eye. A guy who probably, he said, hey, man, we're about to take this ride together. It's going to get ugly first, but we're going to do this together. All right, man, I'm here with you. Don't worry about your job. I got you. I'm the GM. And then all of a sudden it got to the point where it became so egregious and the public pressure started to mount, not only, you know, in Chicago, but nationally, where he had to make that move. So that's the part where you feel bad for him, because you know what he's trying to do, and it was just unfortunate it didn't pan out the way that he wanted.
It's stunning. I think that's what's going through my head. It's stunning that this has occurred this year, and I have never seen a case of a more justifiable firing of a head coach in the NFL. I mean, we go back to like somebody like Rich Kotite back in the day, who was just kind of a joke of a coach. I think, you know, Mark Trestman to some degree, but even Mark Trestman, believe it or not, had moments where the Bears looked good and seemed to have a plan in the right direction. It was never that way for Matt Eberflus. I have never seen so many egregious errors. I had a friend of mine who admitted, look, I'm not the biggest football fan in the world, but I'm seeing, like, that shouldn't happen, right?
Yeah.
That shouldn't be. You're supposed to take a timeout before the Hail Mary, right? Like, just the fact that timeouts have been such an issue this year is absolutely jarring. And in all of these games, obviously the Detroit game, the Minnesota game, the Green Bay game where the kick is blocked, the home loss, the home loss to New England bugs me almost more than any of them, because that was supposed to be your get well game. Instead, they got pantsed by New England at home at Arizona. That bothered me because that was the start of, oh no, the Bears defense kind of sucks. The Bears run defense, particularly the Bears run defense. Oh God, they kind of suck all of a sudden. And that's yet another indictment on Matt Eberflus. So it could not have gone more wrong for Matt Eberflus. It got so bad that this organization did something that, trust me, they didn't want to do this. And I don't know what took them so long to fire.
Virginia McCaskey was sleeping, and they had to get her approval.
Oh, was that your theory, that's what was going on?
Well, because in my mind, I'm thinking to myself, you know, why are you doing this Friday at 9 a.m.? A real organization, right, with real leaders. And I'm sure there were circumstances there. I'm not saying that. Ryan Poehl, if you're listening, I'm sure there are circumstances. I'm just telling you what I'm thinking. Like, if Grody and I are running the Bears, when the game's over after that happens, him and I are having a conversation right then and that Thursday. I don't care if it's Thanksgiving. I don't care if you got turkey in his mouth or the stuffing's coming out the oven. Grody and I are going to have that conversation. And then first thing in the morning, we're going to execute what it is that we decided the night before. If we're doing that at 11 o'clock, 117-year-old Virginia McCaskey sleeping.
That's a great point. Wow, I hadn't thought of it that way. That's good.
George McCaskey is saying to himself, I am on board with this. However, just like most teenage boys, I have to talk to my mom first. and so that's what happens in the morning.
We always respect our mom.
I got to talk to my mom first.
Always got to. See, I did not have. If they had done it differently, I didn't have a problem with them doing their due diligence or giving the appearance that organizationally, let's really think about this. Even if they had made their minds up, at least give the appearance that you're doing due diligence and respecting the head coach. Like, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk. Right. We're not just going to be hasty and can this guy right after the game. the mistake was that, like, I don't think anybody would have had. I personally, as a member, a core member of the media, I would have had no problem if they said, we're pushing back the Zoom. Stand by, guys. We'll let you know when we're going to send the Zoom link out. We'll let you know. And then, you know, they fire him and then he doesn't talk and nobody's going to have an issue whatsoever with that. That was the problem. I like, it's respect. Because Matt Eberflus did the same thing with Shane Waldron. He took his time.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted them. Look, you got to get this guy out of here right now. I didn't have a problem at all with him taking his time, giving the appearance of respect, and not being hasty with it. So I had no issue with that. It's just the fact that they let him go out there at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it was extremely unprofessional. When you're talking about how an organization should handle themselves when firing a head coach, and you want to give him grace and say, okay, you've never done it before, so therefore, you know, the process and how to execute that might have been flawed a bit. But just like Ryan Pohl says, this is supposed to be a new Bears regime, a new Bears team, So who? You know, hey, guys, stop thinking about the past. We're not doing that anymore. I'm tired of hearing about the past. Okay, well, then if I'm talking about the present and the future, well, this was handled poorly. And I understand, like, having a meeting at 9 o'clock as they're saying what was going on, they sent him to the Wolves because, you know, they were still discussing his future and who would be taking over the team. And that's just, it lacks professionalism in that moment. Coach Eberflus, despite what you might think of him as a coach on the field, still a decent human being.
Yeah.
And you want to respect him and what he's doing in that moment. But, I mean, I was listening to the presser yesterday, and I kept making a joke about how the last question of the press conference was a question about why did he throw a challenge flag in the second quarter to the Jameson Williams drop. That was the last question, and I remember listening to it, and I'm like, what? And then he goes away, and then he gets fired, and I'm thinking to myself, wow, that question stood out so much. And and that's the last question he'll answer as a head coach.
It's amazing. Well, that's another part of it, too. He was early in the press conference peppered with questions. His last press conference is all of us asking him if he's going to be fired.
Jason Leisure, are you going to be coaching against the San Francisco 49ers?
Well, Jay, yeah, that's the plan.
I woke up today, and I had my coffee, and I did everything I was supposed to do as a coach, so I'm expecting to do so.
I'll tell you what, and I gave them the benefit of the doubt, and we still don't know the exact answer, but I had one theory, and it was shot down by most people, and I'll see if you want to shoot it down too. But that is that maybe they gave Matt Eberflus the courtesy of actually, do you want to go out there and talk to the media one more time or not? But most people have said no, that couldn't possibly have been. It's the only thing I could, like, is there any benefit of the doubt here? And I'm probably wrong.
Grody, it's kind of like when, you know, regular people, regular jobs like us, they make you go, like, you get fired on a Friday afternoon. You know, like, they made you work the whole day.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they fire you at the end. You're like, dude, you could have fired me in the morning.
Yeah, why didn't you do all that work, man?
I didn't want to do any of this kind of stuff right here. So that's how I felt with Flus. They're like, yeah, hey, no. Go handle the meeting. Here's the Zoom. Yeah. You know what I felt the worst for? Was the PR person for the Chicago Bears. The person that had to keep you guys on hold for a bit before sending out the link, had to tell Flus, hey, no, you are going to do this. Like, then put it together last minute. Kind of understanding. I'm sure she had some sort of, or they had some sort of insider information on what was going to go on. But that must have been frustrating as well.
They probably were not getting, they were probably getting mixed messages from their bosses trying to figure out exactly what was going on. Because as I've said a couple of times, I am, along with several of the core media members of the Bears, were on a text chain with media relations, and typically they're very good at getting back to us when we ask questions about logistical things and when's he going to speak, when's the press conference going to be, just things like that. And we were getting no answer from anybody, which is probably because they were dancing around waiting for a little more direction from their bosses. So eventually the Zoom link came, I think, 2 minutes before 9 o'clock, with all of us sitting there kind of sweating and, of course, wondering too, am I the only one not getting the link here? So we're all texting each other on the beat too. Did you get the link? I didn't get the link. What's going on? Should we tweet this? What's happening?
And then the thing is, people were tweeting out, right? We saw a bunch of media members, hey, we haven't got the link yet. Obviously, assuming that a firing was about to take place, kind of leading up to that news. And so if the concern was, we don't want to push it back because then the media will certainly know something is up. They were already tweeting that out.
Oh, yeah.
That something was up because of the delay in the link. Anyways, that part was just, again, it was icky
yeah.
for me. But what did you think about the fact that, you know, they handed the reins to Thomas Brown? Because to me, I was like, the most important thing for me as a Bears fan is the continued progression of Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. And it seemed as though Thomas Brown had a good grasp in the present of pushing him in that direction. And now, like Flus with the defense, his time is going to be split and no longer hyper-focused on the defense or the head coach. He's going to be focused on everything now. How do you think that's going to affect Caleb Williams?
I mean, I think it's good for now.
What's good?
That he is still, that Thomas Brown is still going to be the one that is calling the plays for him, because Thomas Brown has been competent. I'm not ready to say that Thomas Brown is the guy. Like, he is the one that will change Caleb Williams. But I am ready to say that, yeah, this is the right guy for right now. But it's silly to me to, like, I will keep an open mind for Thomas Brown over these final six games.
For what? To be the head coach of the Bears?
For anything. For anything. But I'm with you. I see the way you're looking at me.
Right.
Don't worry. You could go look at my Twitter.
You have a short list of head coaches that you want?
No, it probably shouldn't be Thomas Brown, with all due respect.
Yeah.
And I am just as impressed by him as anybody, the way he's been able to command the room, whether it is with the media or apparently with the players, and just the vibes that he is putting out there.
Right.
They've been great, but that ain't enough. And to me, it would be very Bears if the Bears were to hire that guy at the end of the season. And again, no offense to him.
No,
but
none whatsoever.
You just can't keep going through this pattern of hiring unknown, unproven coaches in any way, shape, or form. And that's exactly what I don't know if Thomas Brown can manage a game. And we're gonna find out, because he's got a bear of a schedule here coming up. I mean, think about this. Thomas Brown takes over as interim head coach. He has got at San Francisco, at Minnesota, home against Detroit, home against Seattle. That might be a win.
Maybe.
And then at Green Bay, where they will inevitably lose. I mean, that is a loss. Put it in your little betting app. Talk about that on your BetQL show on Saturday. Grody said, goes out on a limb, the Bears will lose at Green Bay. So good for Thomas Brown to get this opportunity, because it probably will lead to good things for him in his career, and maybe he will be a head coach someday. But no, this has to be a home run hire, and unfortunately, the Bears have set up a situation where they cannot afford to be risky or to take a chance on a new guy. Maybe in past years, but no, not this time around. Not in
things
this
have to, things have to look different. I think Thomas Brown, I hope Thomas Brown will be a head coach in the NFL. It's just unfortunate. Things have to line up in certain situations, right? Things have to line up, and in this situation, when it comes to this Bears team, they do need a mega kind of coach in that situation.
What's going on over there? Are we okay over here, guys?
Okay.
All right.
All right. I want to hear your short list, though, when we come back.
Okay. All right. We're taking a break. By the way, let me open the phone lines here for everybody, too, because I definitely want to hear how Bears fans have taken in all of this. And are you surprised that the Bears made this move? 312-644-6767. And are you... do you give the Bears a thumbs up for this, or is this just long overdue in what something that they should have done organizationally for a long time? 312-644-6767 to call or to text. It is Mark Grody and Gabe Ramirez. We are live from Rally House at 1027 West Addison Street, right by the Sports Corner, one of my old haunts, right across the street from that place called Wrigley Field, where Northwestern and Illinois will play later. So please come say hello to us. We're in the back. We've got our own nice little studio back here. We're all set up. We got Ray. We got Rich. We got our gentleman from the promotions team at The Score as well, right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost.
With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
What's up? Gabe and I are broadcasting from Rally House in Wrigleyville. Are you looking to gear up for the Illinois versus Northwestern game today at Wrigley Field? Look no further than Rally House, just across the street from the stadium. Come out and join us. Just say hello, just like Jack from Wrigley Field, one of the ushers, just did. Come say hello. We'll be here until 11. Stop in for food, prizes, and
food.
Yeah.
Wait, whoa.
Where's the food? Hold on a second.
We must be too far in the back. I can't see this thing. Grody, I want to say this. I know we mentioned for Illinois and Northwestern gear, but you know, even though I'm a Sox fan, the amount of cool Cubs stuff that's
oh,
in
now
here.
It's cool Cubs stuff.
It is cool.
Okay.
Cubs. It's overwhelming.
Yeah,
for,
I know.
For a Sox fan.
Right,
but
right.
It's cool nonetheless. I mean, they got some really cool stuff here. So if you're looking for a stocking stuffer, and I know most Cubs fans, I know how it is when you're a dad. I'm a dad now, right, Groats? So it's like you get the same gifts every year, and it seems redundant. But here, you're going to find some gems that are different, right? You want me to tell you what the key to a good gift is?
Yeah.
It's to buy somebody something that they want but don't want to pay for.
Oh, that's so good. But so, what if I don't want to pay for it?
No, that's my point. You're,
okay.
Oh, you mean as the person buying the gift?
Yeah. You know how I am, man. I'm very selfish.
You're a Scrooge then at that point. but no, like for example, I want – my brother wants a – I'm buying my brother. Oh, damn. I hope no, he's in Mexico City.
Okay. Yeah, they don't get radio on there. No, they don't get the Odyssey app.
Hopefully not. He didn't want to. I know he doesn't want to buy this ice bath tub that he because he works out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was like a $60 inflatable ice bath tub, which I know he wants, but he doesn't want to spend the money on it. I buy it for him. That's the equivalent of a good. So there's some Cubs gear, whether it's a Cubs jersey. There's a bunch of Cubs swag. There's Bear stuff we see over here as well. So, but there's it's unique. It's not just a run of the mill. Kind of
absolutely
fan gear that's out there.
And there's plenty of room here, too, to
true.
Roam. You're not crammed in here. Much space to cover while you're here. By the way, laying in a bathtub of ice cubes sounds just awful right now. Just awful.
Aren't we doing that right now?
Yeah.
as we speak, Grody?
Yeah. Yes. And again, they do have winter caps out here at Rally House and hoodies and all of that kind of stuff. So bundle up with everything. Come see us out. You can also enter to win a $25 Rally House gift card.
True.
And Jack, the gentleman who was just had stopped in on his way to work, he's a big scorehead, and he comes up to me, and the first thing he said was, yeah, Mark,
Bears.
I gotta tell you. Yeah, well, he didn't say Bears. He did say that he's a big fan of the station and all that kind of stuff. But he said, here's what I don't understand. He's like, they fire this guy, but they make him speak during his press conference at 9 o'clock. I'm like, yep, we were just talking about that, as a matter of fact, Jack.
The fact that you can do a Jack impression after talking to him for 2 minutes
That's what I do. That's what I do.
Really good.
I got tricks, man. That's what it is. Why do you think I've been in this business for so long? It's just tricks. It's all party tricks.
I'm like,
yeah.
Wow. I was impressed. I was like, Jack?
Yeah, that was pretty good Jack, wasn't
Jack?
It? Yeah. My impersonations are kind of useless, too, because people listening aren't like, oh, that's a perfect perfect Jack that you just did, but he did talk like that.
It's theater of mind. Whatever I say is goes.
I was like, so you work in the game? He goes, oh, yeah, I work all the games. Oh, yeah, man, of course I'm going to be working it, but I really appreciate what you guys are doing out here today.
And he had a mask on, so the fact that you're able to mimic him with a mask on is that was crazy.
I'm pretty good sometimes with just the rank and file impersonations. It's never going to put me on a big stage. Here's Jack now, my impersonation.
Jack was upset at how it went down, and yeah. I think a lot of Bears fans were equally as upset. And I think the reason why Groats is because we as fans are being mocked nationally.
Oh, yeah.
And it's what I was saying was it's not only us that are getting these text messages, right, from our friends across the country or, you know, in media. Everyone is. Jack is. Right, it's not just the people covering the team. It's not just those. Jack is out there getting text messages from his friends. Like, what is going on in Chicago?
Yeah.
Before it used to be the crime. You know, you're like, oh, I'm from Chicago, and they'd be like, whoa, it's rough out there. And now you're like, I'm from Chicago, and they're like, huh, Bears.
Well, yeah. And you know, Jack's going back over to Wrigley Field, and he's like, hey, I just stopped. Over
I was just on the radio.
Yeah. I just talked to those guys over there, and I told them, I said, hey, why did they let Flus talk at 9, and then they started talking about it.
Jack, where's Mark Grody at? Where's Mark Grody at? You guys get him back.
Yeah, maybe we'll get Jack on. I think we've got a little room in the 10 o'clock hour. Maybe we'll put in a call over to Wrigley Field and get Jack back on, see if he wants to continue to steer the show.
Come on over here. Usher to the people over here.
Yeah. We are definitely talking Bears, 312-644-6767. I open up the phone line, so I'm not going to waste that here in this segment. I'm not going to keep everybody sitting on hold. We'll get to our short list. You wanted my short list?
I do.
I have a short list. You know me, how I just scribble all sorts of stuff down over here. So I'm going to give you my
short list on a large page.
Yeah, on a large page, man. I got to have everything on one sheet. I don't need multiple sheets. That's just the way I am as a broadcaster out here. But let's go to the phone lines because I'm anxious. I've barely had a chance to talk to or interact with fans, even on social media, just because I've been jumping from one place to the next for the last really, 72 hours or so with all sorts of things that I have going on. But let's go to, and thanks to Tyler Farengol. Didn't even mention him. He's back in our downtown Chicago studios taking
baby
every, T. Baby T, that's right. And who gave him that name?
I don't know. Who gave him that? Oh, I gave him that.
Oh, yeah. Because we have multiple Tylers at the station. We have a Buterbaugh situation.
Yeah.
He's a real beaut. Let me tell you about Buterbaugh. That guy is a real beaut. And we've got the Farengol happening right now. Hey, what's up, guys? here is.
<That's>
hey, Grody, what's up? How's my Farengol? You guys like that?
I'm sure he's
hey,
laughing.
Hey, man, what's up? Oh, yeah, we got it all.
I'm definitely laughing back here.
Yeah, it's all set. We got it for you, Grody. Yeah. It's all good, man. We got it for you. But you're great, Tyler. Know that. You're like, you get back to me quickly. You're always enthusiastic.
Positive.
Oh, yeah. Go Bears, man. Yeah. No, I saw that game, too. It's crazy what happened with Flus. let's go to I'm really letting the bag out today, man. We're live here, so I like to perform. Let's go to Jason from Midway. Jason, is he in the Midway or is he at Midway? Hi, Jason.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
We are great. How you doing? How you's doing?
Great. So I give this firing of Eberflus a thumbs up. I think it was well overdue. I think it's breaking out of the norm, and actually letting him go was the best thing. But my question is, now that we know that, you know, the changes have been made, and we, as you guys talked about the rest of the schedule, I only see two, winnable games, which is the upcoming game with San Francisco. I think these guys are going to be fired up with the new head coach. And maybe that Seattle game. But if they do not, they don't win the next game, we should be able to be in the running for a good draft pick. Would you guys think of maybe trading that draft pick to someone who may need a quarterback because the quarterback surplus, again, into the next draft is going to be high? And maybe we can get something that will complement, our quarterback in the front line. Or with more draft picks coming up in 2026, 2027, we have that second round as well. I wanted to hear your opinion on that, guys.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Jason. I'm overwhelmed now because I can't believe we're at the point where we're back talking about
draft picks. Trading.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I know you mentioned that there's a lot of quarterbacks in this draft, but it's very top heavy, right? It's Cam Ward from Miami. It's Shedeur Sanders from Colorado. Those are the two quarterbacks, and they'll probably be taken within the first three picks. So the likelihood that someone's going to want to trade up to number nine, let's just say, and to get themselves a quarterback, I think that's far-fetched. But I think the reality is this. Everyone knows what the Bears are going to target with their first draft pick, whether it's 8, 15, 16. It's an offensive lineman in the first round. And if the Bears do anything other than that, it's going to be, I don't know, Ryan Poles going to have another hard, tough conversation about not addressing the offensive line, which I'm sure he is. Yeah.
They're not drafting a quarterback. There's
no. They just don't. No. Not in the first round.
That's true. Now that's a good point.
Not in the first round.
I don't know. Tyson Bagent thinks he's going to be a starter in this league someday. So maybe you've got a great backup quarterback. Maybe
Daniel Jones thought he was going to be a starter in this league.
Oh man, that would be a nice backup though. That'd be a nice guy to have.
Bears?
That? Yeah, I think anybody.
I think anybody.
Right. That's.
I would have loved the Bears to have brought in a veteran. You know, like a Ryan Tannehill. I understand you don't want to pay him. You know, he's expecting Caleb to be healthy. But it would have been nice for Caleb. Again, there was points in the season, Groats, where I saw Anthony Richardson go to the bench and talk to Joe Flacco. Right? I remember seeing that and saying to myself, look at Caleb. He's on the bench by himself talking to Shane Waldron. This sucks that he doesn't have anyone to talk to in that sense. So I would have loved someone like that. So, you know, hopefully they can, you know, address that situation. But the Bears got to just address the line, the trenches, right? Offensive and defensive line this upcoming offseason?
Yeah.
Nothing else?
I'm down with that. I mean, that was the glaring omission. Although, I have to raise my hand and say, I didn't think the offensive line was going to be great. I was okay with what they had, considering that it's difficult to build a good offensive line. But you're right. I mean, this has not worked out. And there are, I mean, like, I hate to say it, but Tevin Jenkins, who, you know, I adore Tevin Jenkins, but that's a tough sell in terms of bringing him back just because of the health issues. Darnell Wright still developing. Braxton Jones is never going to be a dominant left tackle in this league. You can almost make the argument that, and the Nate Davis thing was just an absolute,
oh my gosh,
absolute disaster. It's possible that Coleman Shelton has been the most steady thing on the offensive line this year. And that's ironic because I thought it was going to be Ryan Bates who was going to be your center going into this year.
Yeah, and that was interesting because most people felt that way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, preseason happened and everything went down, so that was interesting. I have a question for you before we go to break.
Yes.
So Rome Odunze selected number 9 overall by the Chicago Bears at the tail end.
Yes.
Would you have preferred an Olufoshanu?
Well, yeah, now.
Well, that's what I'm asking, right? Olufoshanu, no Rome Odunze on this Bear, right. Current Bears iteration. Like, would you now looking back in retrospect, would you have preferred that?
Yeah, probably. But not that I
wasn't. So then Braxton Jones becomes a swing tackle in that situation?
Yeah, right. And honestly, like, I was 100% for the Rome Odunze, like, in real time.
Same,
in
we
real
did
time.
That. Yeah, we had plenty of conversations.
Absolutely. So I'm not going to say I wasn't. But, yeah, of course, at this point, you could see that. And some of that is, it's not all on the offensive line. Like, Caleb Williams, as we know, who has taken a lot of bad sacks this year. So, you know.
The reason I bring it up, though, Grody, because I think to myself, 3 minutes left to go on the drive from the 1 yard line against the Detroit Lions. If Caleb Williams has a good offensive line, or not even good, above average offensive line, does he win that game? Because Caleb Williams, when he has time to throw, he's dropping dimes. That we do know.
Yes.
He's improvising the majority of the time, but when he has time and he's able to sit in the pocket, he can make the throws. And so, yeah, answer the question. I'm curious. Do you think he still would have won, or do you think the Bears would have still Bears?
If they had Olufoshanu on the team then, well, would he have been where Larry Borum was? Because Larry Borum was the one that essentially gave up the sack.
Yeah, because Darnell Wright was gone at that point.
Yeah, so, oh, man, answer the question. Yeah, what the hell, Gabe? Yeah, the Bears would have won the game.
I like this.
The problem is that unfortunately, I hate saying this stuff because it's personal. You know, like this, Matt Eberflus is a human being. He would not have been fired if the Bears won that game. Matt Eberflus would still be here today. And
today, but maybe not at the end of the season.
Probably not at the end of the season. Yeah, 100% not at the end of the season. I just thought of something else, too, before we go to the break. I have done a show over the previous 2 years, as you know. It's called On the Clock.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking that the show's going to get canceled because the Bears
top
are not going
to. Top 10
gonna,
pick.
Gonna, On the Clock is coming back, baby. Ryan Parth,
season
get ready.
Three.
Somebody get Parth on the line. Let's talk about this thing. Let's get this thing together. When we come back, we will take more phone calls. Also, we still have to get to our short list of potential candidates for the Bears to take over. We could talk more about Thomas Brown. We are at the Rally House in Wrigleyville, 1027 West Addison Street, along with Gabe Ramirez. I am Mark Grody. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Hi. Good morning. Hope your coffee is going down nicely. We are broadcasting live from Rally House in Wrigleyville. Come out and join us. Say hello before the Illinois versus Northwestern game coming up at 11 across the street from Wrigley Field. You can enter to win a $25 gift card for Rally House. This is a must-stop shop location for all of your Illinois and Northwestern gear before the game. And, yeah, we've had a few scoreheads come back here and say hello to us. And we mean that. Come on by. Don't be afraid. If you want to watch the show, hang out with us. Look at some of the good Cubs and Bears and Blackhawks and Northwestern. You name it. They have the gear, hoodies to keep you warm. They've got the winter hats as well. So come on by. Stop by. Say hi. Have a cup of coffee with us. We would appreciate it. All right, let's get to some of the candidates. And, you know, this is what it's going to be all about here coming up. There's, you know, there's probably going to be a press conference, hopefully with Ryan Poles.
There must be.
Will be something because that would have been their regular availability that day. It's the first day that we'll get to hear from Thomas Brown as the interim head coach. And I would assume that Ryan Poles will be addressing the media as well. Maybe Kevin Warren. I don't know. I tend to doubt that he would. It's a little bit out of his purview if Ryan Poles was indeed the one that had the autonomy and was the sole decision maker in firing Matt Eberflus and bringing on Thomas Brown as the interim head coach. And I made my opinion clear on Thomas Brown earlier. I'll keep an open mind about him, but that's a pretty big risk, even if he does thrive in these five games, to take a chance on a guy that has never done it and wasn't even good enough to get the offensive coordinator job as he came into Hallis Hall. So let's take a look here. And my name,
in no particular order.
Okay, and
no, I'm asking you if it's in no particular order.
Because it's still early in the process, and it's going to be a fluid list, and my names might change as I learn more and talk to people and things like that. But there's a guy on my list that I feel like people are afraid of.
I'm sorry, Gross.
Yeah, that's okay, man.
Let's take a step back before we dive in.
Okay, Bears.
I need to know what the criteria is that you are looking for in a coach before you say the list.
Okay, a guy...
Like, top two or three characteristics that they need to have.
Fair enough. A guy that I know knows how to manage a football game, because we've been hurt.
Not just the clock, but the game.
Manage an entire football game, because we just saw...
We've been hurt.
We just saw 3 years worth of not being able to manage a football game. We saw some of that with Matt Eberflus, the predecessor to the one that was just fired, Matt Eberflus. All sorts of Matts to be concerned with. The name that gets a lot of people worked up, some people are like, yeah, and a lot of people, I'd say like 50-50, is one Cliff Kingsbury, who obviously has been the offensive coordinator in Washington and has had success in developing Jaden Daniels. Now, he was a head coach in Arizona and was eventually fired as the head coach there, and I don't know everything that went on there. That's part of...
I remember that. Kyler Murray got hurt. He didn't win enough, and then they fired him.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
So you get burned by your quarterback. So I like the idea of a guy who pretty sure knows how to manage a football game, has experience managing a football game, and Lord knows... this guy knows quarterbacks, knows offense, knows play calling, and knows Caleb Williams.
8.7.
Wow. Thank you.
8.7.
That is a strong start. Would you like to give a name? Do you want to go back and forth here, or you want me to just keep firing off names?
You fire the name, because I'm sure you have a good list, and then I will fill it in.
Okay.
With people that I feel like my or right. a person that might.
All right. All
eight,
right.
8.7 Cliff Kingsbury.
Oh, 8.7. Yeah. Okay. The Gabe scale says 8.7.
Yeah. Hopefully right. his middle initial is in K as well.
What?
Hopefully his middle.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Who's the next person?
That's a showstopper right there. Yeah, I hope so, Gabe. I hope so.
Me
yeah.
too. All right. 8.6.
Yeah.
8.6.
Cliff Kingsbury's middle name is Timothy, by the way.
Oh, thank sweet. God. Oh, thank God. Woo. Thank the Lord. Yes.
All right. 8.7.
You could have put the backwards K like they do when you put the K signs up. All right. Enough with the letter K. All the right. letter K blows. Let's just be honest.
8.7 Cliff Kingsbury. Who you got next?
The next name I would like to bring up is that name. It is Bill Belichick. Okay. Now, okay. Hold on. Before you,
KK and BB.
Yeah, KK and BB. BB, right. we're real safe with BB in this case. Here, like, I'm a little conflicted over Bill Belichick because I don't know if he's still got the fastball. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it seemed like he fizzled out, and once Tom Brady was gone, all of a sudden he didn't look like quite the same head coach. But no head coach looks quite the same when they lose a star quarterback, let alone Tom Brady. So that is a concern going in. But this is one of those hires that. They did it. While I'm not positive at this moment if I would like it, I know it would be tough for the media, but who cares about the media? I would be proud of the Bears if they were to, just like I would have been proud of the Bears if they would have hired Jim Harbaugh, because right. it goes against everything that the Bears seem to believe in, and that is the empowering your head coach. And I've talked about this a million times. They have not hired a powerful personality since Mike Ditka, and that is not coincidence. That is not coincidence. They have wanted somebody that is controllable, somebody that is congenial, somebody that will represent the organization well, and not be Ditka. But Bill Belichick, would, if he came in, he would want an enormous amount of power, and we know the effect that Bill Belichick has on an organization in terms of his hand is on everything. So that would mean that Ryan Poles probably wouldn't have the same kind of power. That's the name I'm going with right there for my second name off.
All right, the first, when you say Bill Belichick, I say John Fox.
Whoa.
A coach that had success, is at the tail end of his career,
yeah.
and we kind of saw how that worked out. Not to say that the two will be the same. I am giving Bill Belichick a 5.9.
Jesus.
It's like I like it, but I don't love it. I wouldn't buy it. Might be a good gift,
yeah.
but I wouldn't
for
buy
your
it.
Brother,
yeah, for somebody.
Put him on ice.
I would, if it came down the pipe, I'd be like, okay, cool. Shout out the Bears doing something crazy. I like it. I'm here for this bold move, but I don't necessarily love it. But I'd say 5.9, and the only reason it's that low, Grody, is because how poorly Bill Belichick has been speaking of this Chicago Bears team, this franchise, this quarterback over the last several months. And I just...
Boy, you're mad at him? This is personal or something? Because I like that. I like the fact that he knows the flaws in the organization and he can look at it from a person like...
It's one of those things like, well, you just thought I was ugly yesterday, so why are you trying to date me now?
Well, because I think he could give the Bears
I'm available,
a makeover. Because
I'm available?
Look, he could give the Bears a makeover. No. Come in
I want
here,
somebody that loves
haircut.
Me. I want somebody that loves me.
Like right from the beginning. I want, you know what I want? I want tough love.
Like
that,
a Ron
that's
Rivera.
What I want. I never knew you needed to be cuddled like that. I did not know that.
Pat on the back or kick in the butt. Don't kick me in my butt.
Wow. Yeah, there would be some butt kicking.
So a
5.9 for the guy who many think is the greatest head coach of all time.
Was.
Okay. Well. Yeah. No.
You asked the question too. Does he still have the fastball?
Fair enough.
Okay.
You are right. You're right. I like that you and I call each other out on our BS.
Bears.
So yeah, Bears. We have to take a break here. We'll return to this. I like this. I like what's going on here. So I've got many more names on my list, and I will look forward to how you rank them on your Gabe
scale.
I'm a stickler
when it comes
that,
to.
I'm seeing that. Because coming up next, we are going to bring in Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune.
Bears,
and talk more Bears. With Weedsy as Gabe Ramirez and myself, Mark Grody, we broadcast live from the Rally House at 1027 West Addison as Northwestern and Illinois will play across the street from here in just a little bit. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Awesome. Thank you. The Bears.